Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The reason stock market investing is very important is because that is literally where the wealth train has been. That is where the wealth is being created in America. If you are not invested in the stock market, it is almost impossible to find your way to wealth and prosperity in this country. Hey, good people. I'm Dr. Boyce Watkins.
And I'm Jay from Push Black.
Welcome to Building Black Dollars, the show where we give you the practical tools to take charge of your finances and build Black economic freedom. Today, we're talking about the stock market.
So, we've been getting questions from folks about the stock market. Like, folks want to know what the stock market actually is. If you haven't been in that world before, it can seem kind of daunting. So, let's start with a general overview. What exactly is the stock market?
If I were to describe the stock market in a couple of simple terms and phrases, I would say it's literally like a market, like a grocery store is a market where you're bringing together buyers and sellers, you're bringing together the goods and services that people can purchase from other people. And basically, except instead of having groceries in this market, you have stocks and you can buy shares of a company. You can literally take the money that's in your wallet, get on an app and go to this market and say, I want to be an owner in McDonald's. I want to be an owner in Starbucks. And so it's a beautiful place. It's a place where a lot of activity happens. It's a place where a lot of wealth and value is created. It's a great setup.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
When folks think about the stock market, right, I know for me, at least, there was this image of movies from the 80s and 90s with dudes on the Wall Street Stock Exchange floor yelling, and it looks pretty intense. And one of our Push Black subscribers agrees. So this is what she sent in to us. She says, I want to invest and get into the stock market, but I don't know where to begin or even if it's worth the risk. So, Dr. Watkins, what are some actions she can take to get started?
Getting started is easy. You can actually get started in investing with $5 in 5 minutes. And in a way, investing is a little bit like golf. It's an easy game to learn, but a tough game to master. So when I teach students in the Black Business School, we go deeper into it. I probably have 1,000 hours of content on all the nuances of the market. However, to get started, it's very easy. You download an app like Acorn, Stash, Robinhood, TD Ameritrade, Fidelity, something like that. And you open up an account, you link it to your bank account, transfer money from your bank account into your investment account. And then you pick the company you want to be an owner in, and you buy shares that are proportionate based on the amount of money that you invest. And once you do that, you've begun the process. It's that simple. And one fundamental fact about investing, the biggest mistake you can make as an investor is to not invest at all. The reason stock market investing is very important is because that is literally where the wealth train has been. That is where the wealth is being created in America. If you are not invested in the stock market, it is almost impossible to find your way to wealth and prosperity in this country. Investing in the stock market is not something that requires you to have a bachelor's degree. It's not something that requires you to have a lot of money. Investing in the stock market is not something that requires you to have a lot of time. The number one thing you have to do in order to become a stock market investor is overcome the biggest factor that stops people from investing, which is fear. That's the hurdle that stops everybody.
From what I understand, there's different ways you can go about this, right? You've just outlined one, which seems pretty straightforward, right? What are the pros and cons of doing something like that versus, say, putting a sum of money with your bank or with an investment fund? Like, what are the different options folks have? And is what you just mentioned the best place for most folks to get started?
You can take that other approach of handing your money over to a money manager or to an investment fund or something. I actually do both. I invest with my app, and then I have my money manager who calls me and says, I think this is the way we should shift your portfolio. And I pay a certain percentage to the company to manage that money for me. A person could literally go buy a Vanguard fund, and that's a mutual fund, and just set their money to be deposited in it every single week. And as long as it's a diversified fund, like something that buys, say, the S&P 500 or spread your money out, you could do that consistently. Literally, that one move that would take 5 minutes for anybody to do, it could literally set you up for the rest of your life. You just have to give it time to grow, right? Like growing a tree or something like that. But one of the benefits of maybe going through a bank or a money manager or even your 401k plan, et cetera, is that you have these experts that sit around and think carefully about where the market's going, what the trends are. They actively manage your money. And there's a debate actually as to whether or not that actually adds a lot of value to your long-term portfolio. There's some people who believe it's a great idea. Some people like Warren Buffett thinks it's a waste of time, believe it or not. But I personally think that there are some benefits to that. And also, especially when you talk about things like your 401ks or your 803bs on your job, those are great ways to invest because then you're talking about taking advantage of some of the tax benefits of investing in a certain way. Like 401ks have tax benefits, IRAs do, you know, even Roth IRAs are good from a tax perspective as well. So there are many other opportunities to invest that don't involve any engagement from you where someone else can actually manage that money. And sometimes it can actually be a good thing.
To a certain extent, it sounds like a set it and forget it model. Put your money in, then you'll come out better on the long term. When people look at it and say, okay, the market has crashed historically and will crash, like how should they be thinking about that in terms of their long-term approach to utilizing the stock market?
You know what? It's funny. And I think it's because I've studied this stuff in a certain way through the years. When I was in graduate school, I worked with this old dude named Rene Stoltz, who was one of the leading risk management experts on the planet. And he had me edit his entire textbook on risk. And I hated the job and it was terrible, but I enjoyed it. And it was an honor because he's so well respected in his field. He's one of the top three in the world in this area. And by editing this textbook, it required me to take a lot of time to really think about what is risk. We know what it means. If I say, oh, it's risky, don't go out there. We know what that means, right? But what is risk is a little bit like the boogeyman in it. And it pops in different forms. It's hard to touch. So when people talk about investing being risky, which generates that fear, and we sense risk through our fear, it's an emotional kind of thing. And sometimes that risk and that fear can even stop us from investing. A lot of people don't invest because of fear. There are different ways to perceive it. For example, let's say tomorrow I tell you the stock market crashed by 20%. And that some people will freak out. Oh my God, that's so crazy. Whoa, I shouldn't have invested this week. What am I going to do? Let me get my money out. I'm scared to death. But what I could then do is show that person that if you look at the data over the last 100 years, anytime the market has dropped like that, it was always a buying opportunity and the market always recovered and it came back. So sometimes we can look at risk and overreact to it by saying, oh my God, the market dropped. I'm running away forever. A lot of Black folks did that during the 2007 crash. Black people probably lost over $1 trillion in 2007 during the market crash because we didn't understand one fundamental thing about risk. And that thing is that the thing that is happening now is very different from what's going to be happening forever. That now is a moment in time. And sometimes we get so trapped in the moment that we come up with a permanent solution to a temporary problem. So ultimately, when people talk about the risk that exists in the market, a lot of that risk, honestly, is it's perceptive. It's in the eye of the beholder. And much of it is temporary. There has never been a bear market that has, meaning that a drop in the market, significant drop. There's never been a bear market that has lasted more than 14 months. So that means that any time in the last 100 years, typically, if you are enough of an investor that you can wait 14 months, every penny you lost is going to come back to you and then some. During the pandemic, when the pandemic first began, I could not tell my students exactly what was going to happen during the pandemic. But what I did tell them is I said, look, the average bear market lasts for 14 months. Maybe this lasts for 14 months. I'm buying everything I can get my hands on because right now America's on sale. The pandemic was special because it didn't take 14 months for the recovery to happen. It took about 3 weeks. And a lot of people made a ton of money in those 3 weeks. So long story short, I would say that when you're thinking about the risk, you have to know how to take it into context. You can't let it freak you out and panic you and scare you. And if it does, then just close your eyes and keep investing your money consistently and check your portfolio every 6 months. Don't get caught up in the day-to-day drama because the drama is interesting to watch. There's a lot to learn, but what happened this past week or whatever has very little to do with the long-term growth of the market, which is always, there's no time in American history where you can show me a crash where the market sank and never recovered. It always recovers.
And just like that, we're at the end of this episode of Building Black Dollars. This podcast is produced by Push Black, the nation's largest nonprofit black media company. Barriers like the racial wealth gap and banking discrimination are systemic issues that still plague our communities. But know that economic freedom is still within our reach, and it begins with you. Push Black exists because we saw we had to take this into our own hands. And you make Push Black happen with your contributions at buildingblackdollars.com. Most people do $5 or $10 a month, but really everything makes a difference. Thanks for supporting the work.
The Black Business School is a place where over 150,000 students are obtaining a culturally relevant, low-cost, high-quality education without going into debt. We've helped thousands of students just like you learn how to buy shares of stock, how to start their own business, and how to teach wealth to their children. We can help you too. Visit www.theblackbusinessschool.com. Use the code word BBD to get 10% off.
Hosting the show, we have finance expert and founder of the Black Business School, Dr. Boyce Watkins. The production team for Building Black Dollars includes Tariq Alani, Brooke Brown, Patrick Sanders, and Tasha Taylor. Editing the show is Ivana Tucker, and our producer is Sid Smith. Building Black Dollars executive producer is Julian Walker. Peace.